morning. Today's stop in Brachos Mem Beis. We're in Mem Aleph Amud Beis, towards the top of the Amud. We're going to be starting this morning from the words Amar of Papa. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Yesterday's discussion revolved around Kedima. When having foods in front of me, which of the foods do I make a bracha on? If the brachas are the same, or if the brachas of the two foods are not the same, so then what is going to dictate which bracha I make first on which food? So that was most of yesterday's daf. The second half of yesterday's daf in Mem Aleph Amud Beis at the midway point. So the Gemara moves on to another discussion, and that is, what is the bracha of Hamotzi cover? You say Hamotzi, you're in the middle of a meal, and what is included in the coverage of Hamotzi? So the Gemara cited a couple of opinions. The Gemara cited the opinion of Rav Huna that if I eat Teinim v'anavim, figs and grapes, and I ate besocha seuda. So Rav Huna is quoted as saying that they need a bracha lefnim, but they don't need a bracha la'achareihim. Rav Nachman concurs with that line of thinking. Rav Shesha says that they need a bracha before and they need a bracha afterwards. And there's no such thing as something requiring a bracha before, but not requiring a bracha afterwards, with notable exception of Pasa Baba Kisnim. Yesterday, the Gemara introduced us to the idea of Pasa Baba Kisnim. Hold that thought, because later this morning we're going to discuss Pasa Baba Kisnim in more detail. So we'll define what that is, and we'll try to give an understanding of why, at least according to Rav Sheshes, you don't make a bracha afterwards, which obviously requires some bracha achrona. We'll talk more about that later this morning. The Gemara notes that this is in contrast to the position of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says that when you made motzi and you're eating bread, so it's going to poter, it's going to exempt all other foods. Wine is going to exempt all other drinks. That was the opinion of Rabbi Chiya. And then, after citing all these opinions, the Gemara then cites Rav Papa. Rav Papa tells us what the established halacha is. I'm Rav Papa. So here's where we're picking up right where we left off yesterday. Hilchasa, so the halacha is as follows. Dvar mabai machmas asuda besocha suda. Those things that come as a result of the meal in the middle of the meal. So those are two modifiers, if you're reading the Gemara carefully. They are dvarim habai machmas asuda, so they're coming as a result of the meal, and besocha suda, and they're coming in the meal as well. Now what is the definition of that? So Rashi has an extraordinarily limited definition. Rashi says that's talking about only those things which are actually serving as a condiment to the bread. So anything else, according to Rashi, is not fall under this category. So if it falls under this category, so then your bracha bread is going to poter. So ein tunim bracha lo lefnem v'lo l'acharem does not require bracha, not before, not after. V'shalom machmas ha-seuda, however, if it's coming, shalom machmas ha-seuda, not as a result of the seuda. Now again, Rashi over here is working with his very limited definition, and Rashi says, so if it's not coming as a result of the bread, so then tunum brach lefnem, vein tunum brach l'achareihem. So then it requires a brach lefnem l'achareihem. So Rashi says, what is that? Anything in the meal, except for the bread and condiments for the bread. And that would mean that according to Rashi, the chicken in the middle of the meal, you have to make a shakel. And according to Rashi, that anything that's served at the meal, so you'd have to make a brach on it. And then l'achar suda, tunim bracha bein lefnem bein l'achareihem. And if it's achar hasuda, so coming after the meal, obviously here before benching, so then it would require both a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. Okay, that is the halacha as explained by Rav Papa. Now, if we're working with Rashi's definition, so that means that our practice, which we're all familiar with, seems to be slightly off. Meaning the way Rashi understands the Gemara here, all foods during the meal, you have to make a bracha on, except for the bread, and any condiments that are directly accessorizing the bread. Okay, that is Rashi. Tosfos, as you can imagine, you probably would have guessed, and you'd be correct. So Tosfos argues with Rashi, and Tosfos says no. These definitions of Rashi, meaning we're going to assume the halacha is like Rav Papa, but these definitions of Rashi, Tosfos takes notable exception to the way Rashi defines them. And Tosfos, divra masla hilchus advar mabai mitocha suda. So it's a little bit of a longer Tosfos. So he notes the difficulties, the many difficulties he has with Rashi's pshat. Without going through all the difficulties right now, if I could just cut right to the Tosfos's position, al kein perishri. So in that Tosfos, towards the bottom, it's the first words of the line. Tosfos writes al kein perishri dvar ma bay machmas asuda besocha suda. He says, what's the definition of category number one? Klamar harigilim lava machmas asuda bepas shiri gilim laachlam im hapas. So he says we're basically talking about those things that are brought at the main course. Kigon, basav adag mechomine kedera, meat, fish, and anything cooked. In other words, all foods that are coming in the meal. V'yivim besocha suda, ain't tunim bracha lefnei v'acharei ulacharehim. Afilo achlam besocha suda b'fnei atzmam, belo pas. And even if I'm eating him in the meal and I'm not eating him directly with the bread, still it falls in this first category. The cave of the mishum pas heim ba'im ha'pas potrasam. And because they're coming as a result of the bread, meaning the bread is framing the whole meal, so therefore they are included in the bracha v'amotzi. But those things that don't normally come in the middle of the meal, and here he gives examples, tamarim v'rimon v'shar kol peros. So fruits, right? Fruits are desserts. Okay, so they don't normally come in the course of a meal, and so therefore they don't fall into this first category. She'ein regil nalafes behemes apas, and they're not normally there to accessorize the bread. To unim bracha lifnehem, they came into lav mishum liftan asu in a pas potrasam. And so that's going to be now our second category. Second category of things that are not coming as a result of the meal. And therefore you make a bracha rishon, you don't make a bracha achrona. V'ahinu k'rav nachman, k'rav huna d'la'el. D'amri d'tunim bracha lifnehem v'lo l'achareim. And by the way, says Tosos, this accords with the positions of Rav Huna, Rav Nachman that came up earlier in the Amud. Okay, now what about category number three? So what about category number three? That's the next Tosfos. Next Tosfos, Acher Suda. And then there is a third category of those things that are coming, Acher Suda. So the Garcin Vesulo, Velo Garcin Dvar Mabayim, Bahach Seifa, Bahach Perusho. And Tosfos says, what's Pshat? Ime Vu Dvarim Shiz Kainu, Acher Hasuda Perush, La Acher Shemashchus Yidei Menapas. So they basically washed their hands, they withdrew their hands from the bread. Shuvei Napas Potrasam Klal. So now they're no longer on the mizgeret, on the frame of having a meal. Ukamosha achlam below shum seuda. Ubeinat dvar marigim lavo machmas seuda. Ubeinat dvar shein marigim lavo machmas seuda. And here it doesn't matter what the food is. In other words, the fact, the reality is now is that you have withdrew from the meal, and so therefore you're no longer in the frame of the meal. Tuna bracha lefnei malachrim. These things require bracha both before and afterwards. That called dvarim de la elkai. It's going on everything. Now Tosa says, where do we stand at our meals? V'achshav ein lanu din zeh. So Tosa says we don't. The way we conduct our meals, the way we practice eating, our eating practices don't really have this third category. Says Tosa. Dein minog shalanu limshoch yadinam in a pasklal ad la'achar birchas amazon. This idea that we've removed ourselves from the meal, that is after we bench, meaning that's our practice. And so therefore we don't have halachically this third category. And so Tosha says, and we follow this position of our papa with our societal norms of not having this third category. Okay, super interesting Tosfos. A lot of points to consider. He argues with Rashi's definition. He gives his own definitions of what these three categories are. He says that our practices are different than that at the time of the Gemara, thereby excluding the third category. There is a lot to process within that Tosfos. Let us go back to the Gemara.
It's logical because the thing is, the word is a suda. What's a suda? If you just give bread,
okay.
That's not a suda.
I understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
okay.
That's why he's saying that.
I'm with you. Baruch atah Hashem. Okay. Shalu is Ben Zama. He asked the following question from Ben Zama. We're back in the Gemara, bottom of the Amud. Mimnei ma amru dvar mabai machmas asura besoch asura intun and brachalo lifnei velo lachrem. What's the svar behind that? Why is it that those things that have come in the meal, as a result of the meal, and again, Rashi's pshat, Tosus's pshat, but basically those things that come together with the meal, so why is it that we don't make a bracha before and after them? So Amalem ho'o pas potrasan. So he says, I'll tell you why. Because the bread will potter. Meaning the chashivas of the bracha of hamotzi, so that's going to be an incorporative bracha, and it'll exempt these items. Yahachi, so the Gemara says, okay, follow-up question. So yainami niftere pas. So, okay, so you're having wine in the middle of the meal. So shouldn't you not have to make a bor priya guffin? Meaning shouldn't the hamotzi cover the wine as well? So shani yain, so the answer is that wine is different. Degorin bracha latzmo. Wine causes its own bracha. Now that answer of Ben Zoma, not clear exactly what it means. Let's see Rashi. Rashi writes, going bracha la'atzmo, bekama mekamos uba. So it comes, meaning the bracha on wine comes on a number of occasions. Umevarchin alav. And you make a bracha on it, va'afa pishalo ayetrichim l'shtiyaso, even though I didn't need to drink wine. What's Rashi making reference to over here? Kiddush. Havdalah. So these are moments in time where I'm not interested in wine right now, but yet the halacha demands that I drink a cup of wine. And obviously I got to make a bracha on a cup of wine. So the right way Rashi understands the line of Ben Zoma of going bracha la'atzmo is that since there are occasions where the halacha demands, hey, you know what? You're going to have wine right now. But who said I wanted it? That's not the point. The point is that there are times in halacha where you're going to be taking a cup of wine and it's going to demand its own bracha. So therefore, it shows a certain chashivas to that bracha of wine. And as a result of that, even when you're in the middle of the meal, it still demands its own bracha. That's the way Rashi understands it. The Tosfos over here gives a different shot. You can see the Tosfos. Actually, Tosfos starts on the bottom of the previous Amud. Anyway, we continue. I mentioned the very beginning of Shir today that we mentioned Pasta Baba Kisnim, and here we are. Membeis, Brachos Membeis, Man Aleph. So the Gemara now is going to be discussing this idea of Pasta Baba Kisnim. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Rav Huna Achal Tleisar Riftei B'nei Tlasa Tlasa B'kaba. So Rav Huna had 13 loaves, 13 rolls of bread. Well, I didn't mean the word bread. I said it. I take it back. So he had 13 rolls. Let's just leave it at that. And each one was a kav. So that means to say he ate a lot of bread. Okay, it comes out to a lot. I think over 100 beitzim. Okay, anyway, it was a lot. Velo birech. And what did he not do? So he didn't bench. Right? Now the word birech obviously just means bracha, but we're going to assume right now that it means bench. Now these rolls that he ate. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rav Huna achal tleis arifta. So mi pasa baba kisnim. So we are describing over here pasa baba kisnim. Okay, so he ate this item, which we haven't defined what it is yet. And velo birech acharav. And what he did not do, he didn't make a bracha afterwards. Meaning, seemingly over here, it's a description of benching. So amalei Rav Nachman ade kafna, So Rav Nachman says to him, to Rav Huna, are you famished right now? Are you starving? Like, how is it that you ate all that and you didn't bench afterwards? And Rashi writes, Klomar, ilu l'ra'avon nechlu, v'achila meruba kazulo, nifteres mi bracha, el kol she'achirim kovim achilasam b'kach, tom birchos amazon, kach perish rav hai. You ate a lot. You ate a massive amount. If anybody else would have eaten that amount, of course it would have demanded benching. And by virtue of the fact that just because you have a healthier appetite than other people does not exempt you from having to bench. You too are going to have to bench over this amount of pasta baba kisnim. Okay, so that was the very short exchange. And what we see from here is a lot of ideas. One, there's this thing called pasta baba kisnim. Two, is that under normal circumstances, it doesn't require birchas hamazon, which would then mean, on the front end, it doesn't require hamotzi. And then three, is that if you eat a lot of it, so it does require hamotzi and it does require birchas hamazon. That's a lot of what the Gemara told us in a really short amount of time. But we're still missing a lot of details, meaning what is pasta baba kisnim? So let's take a moment to go over what is pasta baba kisnim. So if you go back to yesterday's daf, Rashi gave a description of what it was when we mentioned it in yesterday's daf. I didn't do the Rashi yesterday. Thank God there's today. Rashi writes back in yesterday's daf, pasta baba kisnim, go back to yesterday and go back to the Rashi right in the middle of the Amud, Amemalf Amud Beis. La achra achila ubirchas amazon in how you regilim lahavi kisnim vehein klayos lefish yafin lalev. So they would bring basically these pockets, right? These bread pockets, right? Roll pockets. And they were filled with nuts. And Rashi points out, good for the heart. Kedarmina ba'alma, hanikistin damala liba, right? The Gemara in Erevin. Umevini ma'am pashin niloshu im tavlin. And together with that, there was this bread that had spices, ke'in. And Rashi ovlois. Rashi quotes this kind of pastry all the time. I wish I knew what it was. It's a type of pastry. Shalana v'yeshos and asokim in tziporim v'ilanos v'ochlin me'em davar muat. And because it was at the end of the meal, and Rashi's explaining, by the way, yesterday's Gemara. So yesterday's Gemara, contextually, that pasta baba kisnim was eaten after the meal, and a very little amount was eaten of it, which parenthetically explained why in yesterday's daf, there was a mention in yesterday's daf that you wouldn't be making a bracha achrona after it. And it was hard to understand. And that's Rashi yesterday explaining, because you ate so little of it. So, umitoch shenosnim batavlin harbe, vegozin v'shkenim ma'acham huat, lo hitinu bracha me'ingimo mida dehavi apas oriz v'dochen. Okay, because you ate so little of it, so therefore it didn't require a bracha afterwards, meaning an alamich afterwards. So, one shot of what it is basically some sort of bread or pastry that's filled with something. you and I would call it, describe basically as a pie. Okay? And by the way, that's what it kind of sounds like. Meaning pasaba bekistim, the word kistim from the word kiss, which is a pocket. So it's a pocket that's filled with something. And the Rabbeinu Chananel, we'll go back even earlier than Rashi, Rabbeinu Chananel says this is his understanding of pasaba bekistim. So it has to be a pastry that has inside of it nuts, honey, right? A whole bunch of sweets. That's one pshat. Another pshat is the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos in the third perek that we're talking about a bread that's baked into it a lot of honey, a lot of oil, and a lot of milk. You and I would describe that more like a cake, right? And a third pshat is given by Rav Haigon. And Rav Haigon says that the pasaba bekistim, so that's something which is crunchy and crispy, like a pretzel. Okay. So you have various pshatim amongst the Rishonim, and even back to the Gaonim, of what exactly pasaba bekistim is. And so now, here's what we're saying. We're saying that under normal circumstances, it requires the brachas are going to be a mezonos al hamichya. However, if you eat a lot of it, so then the bracha is going to go to a hamotzi and birchas hamazon. Okay. As far as the halacha is concerned, just very interesting point over here, that the halacha adopts all three of these different explanations. So if you have a food that has any of these three explanations, so as a result of that, it's going to require, the bracha is going to be a mazonos al hamichya unless you eat a lot of it. Okay. Back to our Gemara. Rav Yehuda Vasik Lei Lebrei, Bei Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, and Rav Yehuda was making a chasna for his son, and Isla Kamei Pasaba Bekisnim, and there they were at the Shmorg, and they were eating the Pasaba Bekisnim, and Kiyasa Shamina Deka Mevarch Hamotzi, and he hears everybody making Hamotzi on Pasaba Bekisnim, and he's really upset. Amaluhu Maitziti Deka Shamina, I'm hearing the Tzadi. Why am I hearing the letter Tzadi? Meaning there should be no Tzadi, it should be Mizonos, and not Hamotzi. So Dilma Hamotzi Lechem Naaretz Kamevarchisu, he says, is everyone here making a Berachos Hamotzi? Is everybody here okay? So Amr lay in. So their response is, yeah, that's the bracha we're making. We're making Hamotzi. Detanya Rabbi Mun Amr Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Pasaba Bekistim Mevarchin Lav Hamotzi. So the bracha is going to be Hamotzi on Pasaba Bekistim. V'Amr Shmuel Halachik Rabbi Mun, and Rabbi Shmuel says that's in fact the halacha. So Amr lo, he says back to them, you have a wrong misora. Your tradition going back to Shmuel is incorrect. So Amalu ain halacha karebi muna itmar. You misunderstood. He said the halacha does not fall like Rav Muna. Amrila v'ha marhu da amr mishmei de Shmuel. Didn't we hear you say that lachmanios? That when you have these lachmanios, now lachmanios we translate in modern Hebrew as rolls, but over here in the context of the Gemara, it's pasaba bekistim. So ma'arvin b'hem ha'mevarchin alem hamotzi, that you can make an erev tchum with them, and you can make an erev chatziris with them. And you make hamotzi on them. So, Shani Hasam, so the Gemara says, that's different. The kafa suda salayu. No, you were kovea suda. Meaning, by pasaba bekistim, if you're eating the amount that would be a suuda, that's what's called kovea sa suuda. So under those circumstances, everybody's in agreement. The bracha is going to be hamotzi. Meaning, the baseline bracha for pasaba bekistim is mezonos. But once you're kovea suda, so then it's hamotzi. The example that you just cited with the lachmanios that were used for Erev and you're making hamotzi, that's because they were kovea suda. Ava hechadolo kava sudasa alayhu, lo. But if you're not kovea suda, so then no. So then the bracha would not be hamotzi, the bracha would be a mezonos.
Is there a shear that once you cross
Yes, yes, yes. But there is a shear. It happens to be the Gemara does not give it. The only thing we know from the Gemara in terms of shiurim is the, go back to the top of the Amud, and Rav Huna's consumption of 13 of these rolls of pasaba bekistim, each one of them being kavich, and that is, as I mentioned in the beginning of the daf today, that's just a tremendous amount. So the Gemara never gives an absolute threshold of what is the amount you have to eat in order for the bracha, in order for it to be kavia suda, and for it to go from a mizonos up to a motzi. The answer is yes, there is, but the Gemara itself never gives it. And it could be subjective, and so now's a good time to mention it. And again, just a disclaimer, this is not a halachic psak, this is just a discussion so that you understand. So the famed pizza question. Pizza is pasaba bekistim. So what is pizza? So pizza is a dough in which it's baked with, in this case, tomato sauce, cheese, and if you're asking me, vegetables as well. It depends which ones. Okay, but it's certainly pasaba bekistim based on the definitions that we saw yesterday in the Rashi. And the Rabbeinu Chananel. And so therefore, pasaba bekistim, so the bracha is mezonos. Very good. But if you're Koveya Suda, so then bracha is going to be Amotzi. So where do you hit the threshold of Kviya Suda? Okay, so that's where the discussion is. Right? Good. So I know. Everyone's going to tell me what they heard. I'll tell you what I heard. Okay, we can exchange notes. Okay, but anyway, but you understand. That is what is at the issue over there. It was, again?
Is Rabbi Yehuda
Hayosek Lebrei, meaning he made a chasm for his son.
So they're not going to be a suit at the chasm?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. Now, it could be that the Osek over here just simply means the preparatory. It could mean that. But I'm with you, though. In other words, and even if at the Shmorg, right, I've heard this also many times, even at the Shmorg, meaning you're eating a lot at the Shmorg, or... right, this is a little bit revelatory. I'm eating a lot this morg. So even if it was just a shmorg, right, it's hard not to make the argument that you're Koveya Suda. You're being Koveya Suda. Anyway, okay, Rav Papa Ikalei Bei Rav Huna Berei de Rav Nasa and Basu de Gamar Su Daisu. So Rav Papa went to the house of Rav Huna after he finished his Suda, Isla Kamai Midila Mechal. And he was given something to eat. Shakur Rapapa v'ka'achal. So, and he took something and he ate it. Amr le'losav l'amar gamar asr m'le'echal. Now, I don't understand. Didn't we finish the meal? And how is it that now that you're just eating, meaning we finished the meal? And what the Gemara now is getting into is the discussion of what constitutes the conclusion of a meal. We already learned in the beginning of Shir today, the end of yesterday's daf, the beginning of today's daf, that if you are besokha suda, once you're in the meal, so no new brachas are required. But once the meal has come to an end, even before benching has occurred, right, what Tosus described earlier, we saw the Tosus earlier, mashchus yadehem, so once there is a clear mark that the meal has come to an end, so therefore you can't eat unless you bench, and then you'll make a new bracha. So asr melecho, so I don't understand. What are you doing eating a food? We have now noted that the meal has come to an end. Amlu salak itmar. No. Even if people announce that the meal is over, he says, I don't think that constitutes the end of the meal. What constitutes the end? Slika, the removal. The removal of what? The removal of the tables. Back then, we saw this many times in Arvei Pesachim, in the 10th parak of Pesachim. And now we're saying it over here in the 6th parak of Brachos. And that is, their tables were small and foldable. And what would happen the minute back then is that when people sat down to eat, first of all, they reclined. We're going to see more of this in tomorrow's daf. And a small table was presented in front of them. And the food is put on their tray. And then how do we signify the end of the meal? They take your table away. And that signifies the end of the meal. So he's saying, as far as I'm concerned, that's the Masorah I have. The removal of the table. Rava Rabbi Zerikala Beresh Kalusa Labasa Desliku Taku Mikamaihu. And so the Gemara tells another story of Rav and Rabbi Zera, who were by the Resh Galusa, and they removed the tables from them. Sharju lehu ristana mi bei Resh Galusa. And what was given to them was ristana or distana, whatever the correct Yirsa is, more food. So Rava achav and Rabbi Zera lo achil. And so now a difference of opinion whether or not you're allowed to eat the food, meaning the meal has come to an end. And so that means now that the bracha of Amotzi no longer has coverage. And so therefore there's a discussion now slash debate in terms of whether or not we can continue eating. So one continued eating, one didn't. So Amar Lelo Seval Amar Salak Asa Melecho. That was a slika. They took away our table. The meal has come to an end. You can't eat anymore until we bench and then we make a new bracha. Amar Le Anan Ataka Deresh Galusa Samchina. He says to him, look, they take my table away, so what? We're not home right now. We're a guest at the Resh Galusa. You see the Resh Galusa, he points to him. He says, he's still got his table in front of him. The meal has not officially ended until his table has been removed. Amarava Raga B'Shemen Shemen Makvo. So a person who normally has oil. Oil, says Rashi, is for washing your hands after you eat. I don't really mean washing your hands, right? You don't wash your hands with oil. But what they used to do at the end of the meal is they used to rub oil into their hands at the end of the meal. So Shemen Me'akvo. Now, what does that mean? So literally what it means is it can hold you back. The way Rashi understands it, it means the meal's still going on. Meaning that we're looking for symbols, signifiers that the meal has come to a conclusion. So we talked about where people announced Gamar. We finished. We talked about Salik Taka, the removal of the table. Now we're introducing a new idea, which is that if your minhag is that at the end of your meal, you rub your hands with oil, so that now is going to serve as the new benchmark of when the meal has come to an end. But that's, of course, if you practice this minhag. So, I'm Rav Ashi Gavina Bei Rav Kahana, I'm Alan Kagon Anan, the Regilan B'Mishcha, Mishcha Me'akvalan. So he says, we practice this custom of rubbing oil in our hands at the end of the meal, and therefore our meals don't end until the oil is rubbed into our hands. I don't know. I don't think so. My best guess is no. It's not a replacement. And the Gemara says that we don't follow these practices, meaning these are not the halakhically accepted ways of concluding a meal. What is? There are three things that need to be contiguous. Take of a smicha shchita. So in the base of Mikdash, so with the carbon, smicha is done by the owner of the carbon where he puts his hands on the animal. And in the case of a chatas, he's misvadeh. And right after the smicha is done, shchita. So those two activities have to be contiguous. Next, take of legula tefila. Smicha gula tefila. A big discussion in our masechta. Already we started the discussion back on Daf Dalet. And we mentioned it a number of times in our masechta. And take of lentilas yadayim bracha. And then, immediately after you wash your hands, you have to make a bracha. Now, wash your hands, make a bracha. Now, it's in our minds, immediately what triggers in our head is we're talking about the washing before the meal. But in the context of a Gemara, that's not what we're talking about. And Rashi writes over here, Tekef Tilas Yadayim, Mayim Achronim, Birchas Amazon. So we're talking over here about Mayim Achronim. And after the Mayim Achronim, so then immediately is going to be Birchas Amazon. V'lo Yochol Klum, Achi Varcha Mazono. And so that means that after the Mayim Achronim, so you shouldn't eat anything until you bench. And then after benching, so then you're allowed to eat again, obviously with a new bracha. So that's the way Rashi understands the Tilas Yadayim in this context.
Weren't there people who made bracha after the Mayim Achronim? Not benching, but actually there was a specific bracha they said after Mayim Achronim.
Not that I'm familiar with. There was no bracha instituted for Mayim Achronim. The Amar Abaye. Av Anu Nemar. We're going to add one more connection, and that is Tekef Tamid Chachamim Bracha. You host the Tamid Chacham in your house. The bracha is going to come immediately afterwards. So interesting, right? The Gemara weaves back and forth between a halachic point and let's call this an agadic point. It's not agadita per se, but in other words, but it's not two halachic processes back to back. But anyway, but you host the Tamid Chacham and the bracha comes immediately. Shenemar. So the Gemara cites two examples of this idea. So Lavan says to Yaakov, you know, you came to my house, and immediately afterwards bracha. And Potiphar's house got a bracha the moment that Yosef landed. So two times in the Torah we see this idea that you host a tzaddik in your house, and bracha immediately is going to follow. Let's continue. We are in the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. I'm sorry. It's a quick summation of the Gemaras that we saw so far today. So we had a discussion today regarding what coverage Hamotzi is going to have for the foods that you have in the meal. We had three different categories. That things that are coming in the meal, things that come after the meal, and things that come as a result of the meal, things that come not as a result of the meal, and things that come after the meal. And we saw this morning in Machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos how to define those categories. Okay, and we saw Tosfos have a very clear position of his definitions of those categories and halachically which categories apply and which categories nowadays do not apply. We talked this morning about Pasuk Baba Kisnim in terms of what the bracha that it warrants, and we learned this morning that Pasuk Baba Kisnim requires a mezonos and nala mechia unless you're kovei asuda, where there would be a hamotzi and then it would be a benching. By the way, I didn't mention this, but let's say you start Pasuk Baba Kisnim now with the idea of being kovei asuda. And then you realize you're a lot hungrier than you thought. So what do you do at that point in time? The Gemara doesn't discuss, but I'm just raising awareness that obviously that needs to be resolved. Meaning now you move from where you weren't going to be kovei asuda, but then you realize, you know what? I'd like another slice. And now you're going to be kovei asuda. So what do you do in terms of bracha rishona? What do you do now in terms of bracha achrona? Bracha achrona is easy. Bracha achrona you'll bench. But what will you do with bracha rishona? Good. So that's something the Gemara doesn't discuss, but obviously something to be aware of. And then we talked about this morning, when does the meal come to an end? And the Gemara gives various different benchmarks in terms of recognizing when the meal has come to an end. What's the significance of that? Significance is that once the meal has come to an end, so you can't eat until you bench. And after you bench, then you can make a new bracha and then you can eat. But now the coverage of Amotzi no longer extends. And what are those? What is the benchmark of the meal coming to an end? So the Gemara has given us numerous positions. The Gemara concluded, Mayim Achronim really is the benchmark of the determination that the meal has come to an end. Okay, we are in the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and a little bit of an introduction. Back then, in terms of meals, there was a lot of etiquette. We're going to see in tomorrow's daf that really the meal had its own patterns, its own system. They really had a lot of etiquette when it came to meal. If you or I were to sit down in a meal in Bavel, circa 4th, 5th century, so we'd be lost. Well, I mean, we're going to see the Gemara tomorrow, so we may not be totally lost, but there were certain things that there was normal practice, and for you and I, it would just be like, we're looking around like, what are we doing next? we're looking at everybody for clues. Okay, we'll see more of that in tomorrow's daf. But meanwhile, however, just like almost like a prelude to tomorrow's daf, so take a look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. So Rashi writes, So before the meal starts, so we're gonna open up with a cup of wine. I mention this all the time. The beverage, and this point is so clear, the beverage of the time of the Gemara was wine. I don't even know if water was like even an option. I know that sounds strange, but like it was clearly wine all the time at all meals. Okay, so before the meal even started, so we just start with a cup of wine. Now, is this before even we wash our hands? I don't think so. I think it's after we wash our hands. Although, again, tomorrow we're going to see. I'm remembering tomorrow's daf. The wine was before they washed their hands. They washed one hand for this first cup of wine. That sounds strange. Come back tomorrow. Anyway, so you opened up with a cup of wine. Kiditanya lekaman, ketsa seder aseba. Good. And Rashi quotes tomorrow's daf. Umivin lifneim parparos lahamshich achila. And then hors d'oeuvres. And the hors d'oeuvres were pargio dagim. Okay, some chicken, some fish. Ve'achakach mivin ashochan. And then they bring out the table. So in other words, remember, back in the day, small folding tables. Then they bring out the table. So first a cup of wine, that, and then some hors d'oeuvres, and now we can eat. Okay. Well, acher gemar seuda yoshim v'shosim v'ochlin. And then after the meal, what are we going to do? Well, obviously, we're going to have another cup of wine. Umahin ochlin parparos kegon kistei damalu liba v'lachmanios v'hu yainu parparos. And then also after the meal is over, in addition to the wine, also some desserts. And what do those desserts include? So once again, we go back to our lachmanios, right? The shalachar mazon ushteim kodim birchas hamazon. And by the way, all this is before benching. So if we could try to give an outline now of their meal, it's a lot of food. So try to give an outline of their meal. So first we start with a cup of wine. We now have our d'oeuvres. Then the table is presented where the meal is actually presented. Then after the table is taken away, some dessert items, and of course a cup of wine. Okay. With all that stated, so now that we know what their etiquette was, so now it's just a question of brachos. And what's the appropriate bracha on what foods? And that's what we're discussing in our Mishnah. Birch alayayin shelifnei hamazon. So now, if you're drinking the wine before mazon, good. So we now know. We're talking about that first cup of wine that's served to them. So patros alayayin shelachar mazon. So that bracha that you make, borei pri hagafen, will serve not only for this wine, but for the wine after the meal. So you have coverage of this bracha on both. Now, berach al parparos lefnei hamazon. Now, if let's say the parparos was given before the mazon, the hors d'oeuvres, the parparos before the meal started, patros parparos la'achra mazon. So that will exempt the parparos that are after the mazon as well, meaning they're not considered b'socha suda. It's not considered machmas suda. So it's going to demand its own bracha rishona, like we discussed earlier this morning. And so, therefore, if I make a bracha on it at the beginning, it will cover those things that come at the parparos that comes at the end. Berach alapas, just give me a second. Berach alapas patras aparparos. Now, if you make a bracha on bread, so that will exempt the parparos. Al haparparos lo patras apas. But if you make a bracha on the parparos, it won't exempt bread. Now, this point of the Mishnah is challenging. Why? Because one of the definitions of Rashi of the parparos was chicken and fish. Now, that obviously demands a bracha of shahakol. So the Gemara's point over here is that if I make a bracha on the parparos, well, that won't cover the bread. Well, of course it won't cover the bread. If you're making a shahakol, shahakol doesn't cover bread. And even b'di'evad, by the way, that was a discussion we had in the Gemara just a couple of days ago. So the way Rashi sets up the Mishnah over here, it is a bit challenging, and this point does not belong to me. This point is already set over by Tosfos. Anyway, Beis Shammai Omrim af lo Maisa Kedera, and Beis Shammai says the bracha is not even going to cover the Maisa Kedera. What was Beis Shammai referencing? The first statement of the Mishnah, the second statement of the Mishnah. Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss. Hayu Yoshrin Kol Echem Averach La'atzmo. Now, making a bracha for others. If we are in a frame of mind where I'm going to successfully listen to your bracha, so then I can make a bracha for you, you can make a bracha for me. If, however, we're scattered and all over the place, so then we can't make brachas for each other, so then every man for themselves in terms of making a bracha. Now, what is considered scattered? This will interest you. Scattered, says the Mishnah, is sitting. People are not really settled when they're sitting. What is considered settled? Haseba. When they're lying down. That's considered settled. Now we're here. Okay, good. Now I can listen to your bracha. That's the Mishnah. Hayu Yoshin Kol Echem Averach La'atzmo. So if we're sitting, that's not a kvias. And so therefore, I can't make a bracha for you. But Hasebu Echem Averach L'kulam. But if you have a seba, okay, now I'm ready to listen. Okay, so you can make a bracha for me and vice versa. Ba lechem yayin b'soch hamazon, kol echav echem averach la'atzmo. If wine comes b'soch hamazon in the middle of the meal, so then everyone makes a bracha for themselves. Why? So we're going to explain later. Achar hamazon, but if it's coming after the meal, echem averach l'kulam, then one can make a bracha for everybody. What's the difference between wine in the middle of the meal versus after the meal? So later we'll discuss an understanding of why that should be. And finally, v'hu omer la mugmar, and the one whom made the bracha, so he's also given the kavod of making the bracha on mugmar. What is mugmar? After the meal has come to an end, so now we're gonna have some incense. We're gonna smell a little bit, and so there's a bracha to be said over it. What's the bracha? Come back tomorrow. Detailed discussion tomorrow in terms of the brachas that you make over various smells, and it's based on what the smell is coming from. And come back tomorrow for a detailed discussion about that. Now, generally, mugmar was come after the suda, but still, the one who was given the kavod of making the brachas before is continued to be given the kavod of making the bracha on the mugmar. Okay, we'll discuss more of that tomorrow's daf. This idea, we're going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, that you have a cup of wine at the beginning of the meal, a cup of wine after the meal is over. So when is this normal routine? That's only on Shabbos and Yontif. But during the week, look, I understand during the week you'll have one cup of wine. But generally speaking, during the week, you're not going to have a second cup of wine. The meals during the week are not as formal and as detailed as the ones that we described. And so therefore, if you had a bracha at the beginning of the meal, so you're allowed to have a bracha at the end of the meal, that's fine. It's just that you weren't planning on it, and therefore it's going to demand its own bracha. Itmar nami amar rava bar mari amar Rav Yishua ben Levi, and the Gemara quotes the same thing. In the name of Rav Yishua ben Levi, lo shanu lo b'shabbos v'yamim tovim, uv'sha shadim yosim yibes ha-mechus v'sha sakas ha-sadam. So, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's an expectation to be drinking multiple cups of wine. And by the way, also when you're going back from the Beis HaMerchatz, so you just had a good schwitz, and now you're going to need to rehydrate. And I know, you think rehydration means water. Okay, that's where you're mistaken. So the and also, Kazas Adam, when you after good bloodletting. So that there too. So there you have multiple cups of wine. Hov Adam Koveas Udaso Layayin. Aval Bashar Yimos Hashanah Mevarech Al Kol Kos V'Kos. But during the rest of the year where there's no expectation to have more than one cup of wine, so that second cup of wine was not thought of when you made the first bracha, therefore it demands its own bracha. Rava bar marik lelebe rava b'chol chazia de baruch lifnei amazon v'hada baruch l'achar amazon. So, and he saw the Samara put this actually into practice. It was a weekday. He had a cup of wine before the meal started. And then after the meal, he decided to have another cup of wine and he made another bracha. And he says to him, Yeshakoach, the Chenam Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and that is what was taught to us by Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef Hikl Lebe Abaye be Yom Tov, and Rabbi Yitzchak went to the house of Abaye on a Yom Tov, Chazia de Baruch Akol Kasa Vakasa. And here he is making a Birchas Bar Pri Agafan and every cup of wine that he drank. Amalei Lo Savala Mar Lahad de Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Now, Rabbi Shua ben Levi taught us that on Yom Tov, you don't need to make multiple brachas. There's an expectation that you're going to be drinking more than one cup of wine. You didn't need to make those brachas, right? Amar Leh, so his response is, Nimlach Ana. I really didn't think I was going to be drinking another cup of wine. That's not my normal practice. And the fact that I was interested in another cup of wine to me was a chiddush. And so therefore, this is like me changing my mind. And as a result of that, I am going to be making a new bracha. That's a good question. I'm not sure. So the Gemara says, now what about wine coming in the middle of the meal? So again, we're going to go back to our rules of etiquette and their conduct back then. Before the meal, we'll start with a cup of wine. After the meal, a cup of wine. Is there drinking during the meal? So it seems like from a number of Gemaras, including this one, that drinking, there wasn't much drinking done during the meal. Like the eating and drinking were kept separate. And so the idea that you're drinking in the middle of the meal is slightly unusual. And so the Gemara's question over here is, well, let's say I didn't have a cup before the meal, and I had a little bit of wine or whatever amount during the meal. Can that serve as coverage now for the wine after the meal? So imtim salama berach alayan shalifne amazon potos yan shalach amazon mishum dezelishtos vezelishtos. You see, the Mishnah may not tell us, it may not teach us this point. Because in the Mishnah's case, it was lifnei amazon lachar amazon. That's shtia. That's formal drinking. And so therefore, of course, the bracha before is going to cover the afterwards, because it's the same category. That's shtia. Avahacha dezelishtos vezelishtos, lo. But over here, the drinking you do after the meal, that's shtia. What's the drinking you're doing during the meal? That's soaking. That's basically helping the food go down. And that may be qualitatively a different type of drink. Maybe no such distinctions to be made. Rav Amar Poter, Rav Kahana Amar Eina Poter. And we have a debate amongst the Amorayim. Rav says it exempts, Rav Kahana says it doesn't, Rav Nachman Amar Poter, Rav Sheshes Amar Eina Poter, Rav Hun of Rav Yehuda V'chol Tamida de Rav Amri Eina Poter. And so we have a major debate amongst the Amorayim whether or not this Borei Pri HaGafen that you made in the middle of the meal can serve as the patur, as an exemption for the ones that you have afterwards. Eitzvei Rav L'Rav Nachman, what about our Mishnah? Now, our Mishnah taught us, we're going back to the Mishnah that we saw just minutes earlier. You can actually see the sign of the Mishnah on the top line of the Amud. Balam Yayin B'socha Mazon Kol Echem Mevarech La'atzmo. And La'achra Mazon Echem Mevarech L'kulan. And as Rashi explains over here, right now we're thinking this is one scenario where you had wine in the middle of the meal and you had wine after the meal. Now, the point the Mishnah wants to teach us is that during the meal, I can't make brachas for others, and they can't make brachas for me, for reasons which we have not yet articulated, and we will. But after the meal, now one person can make a bracha for everybody. That's the point of the Mishnah. But don't we also learn in the Mishnah that if I had a Bari Pri HaGafen in the middle of the meal, I have to make a bracha Bari Pri HaGafen after the meal? That's what the Mishnah sounds like. Amalei Hachi Kamar. So he says to him, you misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah wasn't talking about one case. The Mishnah was talking about two different scenarios. One, you had wine in the middle of the meal, where you cannot be motzi other people. Again, for reasons which we're going to articulate. And then two, a totally separate case. You have wine after the meal. It's not and, it's just rather a different case. You had wine after the meal, and under those circumstances, you can be motzi other people. That's the way to understand the Mishnah. And so the Mishnah is not now speaking about our case, about drinking wine in the middle of the meal, to potter wine after the meal. And so where the Gemara lands on this issue, it's a machlokus. Major machlokus amongst the Amoraim, whether or not the wine in the middle of the meal can exempt the wine after the meal. Now, Beit Shammai, yeah?
When the Gemara keeps saying Mevarech for the second cup, it's Agafen or Tovametiv?
Agafen. The Gemara right now is just focusing on Agafen. Tovametiv comes up later in the Masechta. The Gemara right now, the Gemara right now is just talking about the Bracha Berpi Agafen. The Gemara now cited the opinion of Beit Shammai in our Mishnah. It's not even going to exempt Maisa Kedera. Now, Maisa Kedera is an expression that we used earlier in our Perek. Maisa Kedera basically is something that is of a dough, but it's cooked in a pot. Maisa Kedera. The bracha of Maisa Kedera is mezonos. We saw that earlier in our Masechta. Earlier in our Perek. Ibailahu. Now, what was Beit Shammai saying? It's not really clear. And the Gemara will spend a little bit of time trying to analyze and clarify the position of Beit Shammai. And yes, it's a point of interest that Beit Shammai's position is not a halachically accepted one throughout Shas. And meanwhile, the Gemara spends time with the Shita of Beit Shammai. It's still part of the corpus of Torah. We make this point so many times, but It's obvious from the Gemaras that we see. It's part of the corpus of Torah. It demands clarification. It demands understanding. Learning it is a mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, even though halachically it's not accepted. We saw in the beginning of Masechta Nida, the Gemara spent Dapim going over the Shita of Shammai and helping us understand that Shita. Okay, so over here, the Gemara is just going to be spending a couple of lines. But anyway, clarification of Beit Shammai. So, Ibailu, Beit Shammai, Reisha Pligo, Dilma, Seifa Pligi. So, is he going on the Reisha or on the Seifa? Because consider, the Tanakhama taught us that if you make a bracha motzi, so that will give you coverage for parperes. Right? Parperes, let's describe that right now as light desserts. If it's covering your light desserts, kolshekein maisa kedera. So for sure it's going to cover maisa kedera. V'asi beit sham, which is heavier. V'asi beit sham, let me hear, let me buy parperes, la patra, lahu pas, ela afila maisa kedera, nami la patra. And Beit Shammai is objecting to all of that, meaning he's saying that the bercha on Havamotzi is not going to cover, not the parperes, not even Maisa Kedera. That's one possibility. Odilma Asefa Pligi, or maybe, no, maybe what Beit Shammai was objecting to was the next point of the Mishnah. Bercha la parperes la patra zapas, that if I make a bracha on parperes, it won't exempt the bread, and pasu de la patra va Maisa Kedera patra, which makes it sound like it won't exempt the bread, but it would exempt something less than bread, meaning it'll exempt Maisa Kedera. And again, this seems to give us really clear indication that the parperes is not a, it's not a meat, it's not a fish, it's something mizonos. And so even though it's a lighter mizonos, if that's a fair way to describe it, nevertheless, it's going to cover you on your heavier mizonos on Maisa Kedera. And also Beit Shammai lememar, afilu Maisa Kedera nami lo patar. And what Beit Shammai says is no, that your bracha that you made on the parperes will not give you coverage on the Maisa Kedera. Maybe that's what Beit Shammai was objecting to. Teku, and the Gemara readily admits, we don't know pshat in Beit Shammai, or we don't have full clarification of the pshat in Beit Shammai. And let's just do the next bit of Gemara. Hayyoshun kol echa ve'echad, hesebu in lo, hesebu lo. Okay, in terms of making brachas for each other, we have to be in a situation of kvius. And so, therefore, we have to be reclining. Now, Reminu, now the Gemara says, now I'm going to quote to you a Tosefta. Asarashayu ochem ederech, 10 people walking the way, afapisha kulam ochlim mikikar echad. And they're eating, they're even sharing the same loaf. Kol echa ve'echem averech la'atzmo. They're all going to be making a bracha for themselves. They're not even sitting. Yashvu lechol, afapisha kol echa ve'echad ochem mikikaro, echem averech l'kulam. But if you're sitting, so now you can make a bracha one for the other. In this Tosefta, clearly we're talking about just sinning that creates a kvias. Ketani Yeshua of Apishalo Esebu, the Gemara makes exactly that point. Amar Avnach, Amar Yitzchak, Kikon Darme, Nezo Venech Lachma, Bedoch Plan. So the Gemara says, okay, what creates a kvias? Our Mishnah taught us that reclining creates a kvias. Also, and this is what the Tosefta is adding, if we sit, and not only sit, but plan on sitting in this place, that also creates a kvias. Kinach nafshei de Rav, the Gemara tells the following story where Rav passed away. Azo tamida basrei, the students went after, meaning they were malava. They escorted him to be buried. Ki hadre amre, now they came back from the kvura, and they were going to sit now, and they were going to eat. Nezav anecholachma an nahar dank. And they actually planned, we're going to be eating together at nahar dank, right, a particular river. Basa de karchu yasve v'kami bailu esebu davka tanan, aval yashvu lo, odil makevin de amre, nezav anechol rifta beduchta panisa, ki esebu dame. Now look, we didn't recline, we just sat, but we did plan on eating over here. So in terms of one person benching for everyone else, what's the halacha? The Mishnah says Heseba, but we're not reclining, we are sitting, but we did plan. So what's the halacha? Lohavu biyadaihu. And they simply didn't know, these students of Rav. Kam Rav Adarbava, so one of the students of Rav, notably Rav Adarbava, so he stood up. Ahadar karla achore. And talk about such a powerful visual. And what he did is he already tore Kriya once over the death of his Rebbe. So what he did is he flipped his robe to the back so that now he's going to do Kriya a second time. Vekar Kriya Achrina. Amar nach nafshei derav ubirchus mezono lo gamrinan. And he said, our Rebbe died and we don't even know how to bench. And we don't even know the halachas of benching. So in other words, it was a reinforcement of the idea that not only did they suffer loss, but they suffered loss. And so he did Kriya twice. Adasa Usaba, and an elderly person came along. Ramalu Masisa Nabraisa. Now, he quoted our Mishnah. he quoted the Tosefta that we also quoted. And he gave the resolution that we gave earlier, that if you're doing a seba, obviously that's a kvias. If you establish that you're going to be eating in a certain place, that's kim'at, that's like you're doing a seba, even though you're just sitting, and therefore one can make a bracha for everybody.